heart surrenders to your design. You gave me purpose, so I give my life. I'm giving you all of me. Out of the darkness and into your light.
We're marching on. broken something before? I know I have. You know, I was about your age and I was unloading the dishwasher and you know those plates that are supposed to be unbreakable? Yeah, long story, but I broke them. Yeah, not just one. Three of them. Three unbreakable plates shattered. And you may be wondering, why are we talking about things that are broken? Well, today we are going to look in the Big God story and learn how God restores, meaning how he puts the broken things back together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you that your word tells us that you can use any and all pieces, no matter the circumstances, no matter the situation, and you can restore. Lord, that you can take broken things and make them new again. Lord, would you open our hearts and open our minds to understand more about you today? Amen. So last week we talked about Jonah, right? God worked through this man named Jonah to warn the people of Nineveh that their town, their life, they were going to be destroyed if they did not repent and follow God. And to Jonah's surprise, and really everyone's surprise, they turned, they followed God, and God was merciful to them. Well, this worked for, you know, about 150 years, which is a long time, but eventually Nineveh returned to their wicked ways and they were destroyed by Babylon. Now, Babylon was very, very powerful at the time. And Jerusalem, or, you know, this group of the Israelites, of God's people, were pretty weak in comparison. And they were actually weak because they had stopped obeying God. They had stopped doing things his way. They weren't trusting him or following his laws or his word. And Babylon came in and conquered Jerusalem as well. And many children of the royal and noble families, they were taken hostage to Babylon. You've probably heard of some of those people, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They were all taken to Babylon from Jerusalem. Then Babylon came in again, and this time they took not just people of important power or statue, they came and took 10,000 people, forcing them to leave their home once again in Jerusalem and go to Babylon. And then, if that wasn't enough, 12 years later, Babylon came in and completely destroyed the city of Jerusalem because they continued to rebel. Only ruins and rubble remained, and the rest of the people were forced to leave their homes, and they were taken into captivity and made slaves. Things were not looking so great for Jerusalem. Things were looking pretty broken. But you know, there's a famous passage that I'm sure some of you have heard before, that God spoke to his people during this time when they were being captured and their homes were being destroyed. God made an incredible promise to his people. Let's read together in Jeremiah 29 verses 10 through 14. So that's in the Old Testament, you know, a little past halfway in your Bible. And it says this: "The Lord says, you will be forced to live in Babylonia for 70 years. After they are over, I will come to you. My gracious promise to you will come true, and I will bring you back home. I know the plans I have for you, announces the Lord. I want you to enjoy success. I do not plan to harm you, and I will give you hope for the years to come." Maybe you've heard, "I will give you a hope and a future." And he goes on to say, "Then you will call out to me. You will come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. When you look for me with all your heart, you will find me. I will be found by you, announces the Lord, and I will bring you back from where you were taken as prisoners. I will gather you from all the nations. I will gather you from the places where I have forced you to go, announces the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you away." God is making an incredible promise that he's going to bring his people home. He helps them understand that, yeah, you're going to be in this situation for a while, but this is not how it will all end. I am going to restore you. I am going to bring you home. Just call on my name. I am listening and I am ready to help. And this will not end in brokenness. So after many years, Babylon was finally conquered by another nation. Just as God had promised, he began to restore his people. He started to set things right and repair all that had been destroyed. God moved in the heart of a man named King Cyrus, and the Jews were starting to return to their homeland. So we can read about this in the book of Ezra. So you have to flip back quite a bit to find the book of Ezra. And we are going to read from Ezra chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. It says, in the first year that Cyrus was king, he gave an order. It concerned God's temple in Jerusalem, and it said, rebuild the temple. Then the Jews can offer sacrifices there. Lay its foundation. The temple must be 90 feet high and 90 feet wide. Its walls must have three layers of large stones. They must also have a layer of beautiful wood. Use money from the royal treasure to pay for everything. The gold and silver articles from the house of God must be returned. Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon, had taken them from the first temple in Jerusalem, and he had brought them to Babylon. Now they must be returned to their places in the temple at Jerusalem. They must be put in the house of God there. So everything was being returned back to where it belonged. Not just the people got to return home, but everything that King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had taken was getting put back in its place. Exactly 70 years from the time from Jeremiah's prophecy, from that first set of verses I read, the first group of Jews returned to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, just as God had said. They were beginning to return home. The temple was their place of worship, and God had asked his people to perform sacrifices there as an act of worship. When the people had no temple, they were unable to offer their sacrifices to God for their sins. They became separated from him. This created some distance between God and his people. But God restored their place of worship by providing the favor and money they needed for them to rebuild the temple. After God restored the temple, it was time to restore the hearts of his people. The Jewish people had been taken captive because they sinned. They disobeyed God. Remember, they stopped following his laws. They stopped obeying him and living a life the way that God had asked them to live. And even with their temple restored, the people, they were still continuing to walk in these old ways, in these ways of sin. And so God sent Ezra to lead the people's hearts back to God. Restoration starts with repentance. And repentance means that you're turning away from your sin and turning to God. So it's not just leaving the sin behind, but it's leaving the sin behind so that we can turn to God. Ezra led the people in calling out to God and asking for forgiveness. If you flip a couple of pages in Ezra chapter 9, verse 6, it says this, I fell on my knees and I spread my hands out to the Lord, my God, and prayed. So this is Ezra praying. He says, you are my God, and I am filled with shame and dishonor. I can hardly look to you and pray. And that's because our sins are piled up above our heads. Our guilt reaches all the way to the heavens, and we are filled with it. And with the confession of their sins, the Jewish people agreed to do what needed to be done to worship God and worship him only, the one true God. God restored the temple, and he was now restoring their hearts and turning them towards him. And finally, to return Jerusalem to its former strength, its strength back before any of this happened, God called a man named Nehemiah to rebuild the city walls. Now, this was a big task. These walls were huge and they were the protection from other nations. As long as the walls were in ruin, the people were not safe from the other nations and invaders all around them. For all they knew, it could happen all over again. So Nehemiah worked for the king of Persia. And when he asked the king's permission to go, God moved in that king's heart and allowed Nehemiah to leave and go to Jerusalem. And he gave him all the supplies he needed to rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem. You know how long it took? Just 52 days. In 52 days, God used his people and restored the city walls of Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was completely restored. God's people were finally home. They were free. They were safe. And with their hearts turned towards God, made right, they worshiped him. But God's restoration project, it wasn't finished yet. It isn't finished yet. See, sin broke our relationship with God back all the way with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And all through the Old Testament, God was preparing his people for the coming of the Messiah, for the coming of Jesus. God's Son would set all things right. Jesus is the final sacrifice. Sin would be conquered once and for all, and his broken body would pay the price to make us whole so that we could have a relationship with God, so that we could have a chance to restore our relationship with God. And like the people of Jerusalem turned away from God, even today, our own sin can turn us away from God. But he never turns his back on us, not once. Ezra taught the people that even in their darkest days, when all they owned had been taken from them, when they had been taken from their home, when their cities were destroyed, when they were made captives, when they were made slaves, God didn't forsake them. God didn't leave them hanging. God was with them. And in all things, his goodness is what endured. His goodness kept them going. His goodness was always there. Through Jesus's death on the cross, God made a way for us to come back into a right relationship with him. Jesus restores our relationship with God, and nothing can separate us from his love. So today, you're going to take some time to come before your Heavenly Father. When we sin, it hurts God's heart and our relationship with God. But never once will God leave us. Even though sin can break our relationship and create distance between us and God, God's healing love is bigger than anything we could ever do. It covers, repairs, and restores our broken hearts and restores our relationship with him. So use this time and talk to God about maybe any sin or brokenness in your life that you need his restoration power. Where do you need God to fix what's broken in your life? Pray and ask God to restore and heal you from this area of brokenness as we sing together.
It was just three words, but it changed my life. Just a childlike truth that consumed my mind. From my life's first breath till the me.
let's close with our blessing. But first, I want to read a verse in 1 Peter chapter 5. So we just learned about how God restored his people, that he brought them back when they were far from home and brought healing not only to the physical things around them, their temple and the walls of the city, but also to their hearts. And that's still true for us today. In 1 Peter 5 verse 10, it says this, God always gives you all the grace you need. So you will only have to suffer for a little while. Then God himself will build you up again. He will make you strong and steady, and he has chosen you to share in his eternal glory because you belong to Christ. Now hold out your hand so you can receive this blessing. May you come to God anytime you are feeling broken. May you trust that he is the one who restores, and may your hope always be in God, who is greater than any brokenness we would ever face. Amen.